Hello and welcome into another edition of Believe in Titans on the Believe Podcast Network. I am Davey Hudson alongside former Titan Denard Walker, and we appreciate you joining us here today as we get set to preview the Titans' upcoming matchup against the San Francisco 49ers. It's a short week. Titans playing on Thursday. Titans coming off of a pitiful loss to the Pittsburgh Steelers. It was not fun to watch, and so at least the Titans will be turning the page very quickly as they get set to host the 49ers on Thursday, NFL Network primetime. It's good to have a game that you can turn your attention to really quick, Denard, but we'll see what the Titans are able to do. But before we get into all of that, I want to ask, do you believe? And Believe in Titans is presented by BetOnline. BetOnline remains your number one spot for all the basketball and football action this season. Right now, head to the new updated desktop or mobile website to sign up today and receive your 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit. Just use our promo code BELIEVE50 to receive your bonus. That's BLEAV50 to receive your bonus. From basketball, football, NHL, boxing, and UFC, right to your favorite Vegas casino games, don't wait to take advantage of all the amazing offers available for the 2021 season. BetOnline is the fastest and easiest way to bet on all your favorite sports. BetOnline, where the game starts. I was looking around at the lines earlier. I mean, the NFL, it's been crazy. We had football on Saturday night, Sunday, then again on Monday, then on Tuesday, and now we're getting it again on Thursday, and then we'll get it again on Saturday as well. So it's just been a lot of football. Titans right now, a 3.5-point dog to the 49ers. So people are not feeling the Titans, and right now I can't say that I blame them based off of what we saw this past Sunday up in Pitt. But D, I hope you're doing well, sir. I'm going to bring you in here, and I need you to talk me into how I get a Titans win.
First of all, D, it's about for this team is get the taste out of your mouth. And what a great way to start with a short week. You don't have that much time to think about the loss Sunday. This is what I love about short weeks. You don't have time to go back to and review the game. What you have to do is you have to put your focus on the San Francisco 49ers. It's a plus for Tennessee because you're playing home. It's a minus for the 49ers because they got to travel from the West Coast after a short week Sunday and then get down to Nashville. So they have to come down a day early so they can adjust to the time. From West Coast time to what are you guys on Central time down there at Nashville? Or are you a
it's Central? Yeah.
Central. Yeah. I figured that it's been a while since I've lived there. But again, this is what I like about this game is I like the fact that when this team, when they're down in a hole, Davey, they seem to respond. And I'm talking about Tennessee. This is going to be a tough matchup because both teams are fighting for a playoff spot. Sunday, Tennessee could have got in with the win. And if you're San Francisco, you're 8-6, you're third in the NFC West, you are fighting for your playoff life as well. So this is going to be a good game. Two teams evenly match, and they have some playmakers. And I'm going to let you get into that. But once again, this is going to be a tough game because, D, when you look at this defense, they have a monster. And you know who I'm talking about, number 97. He's a grown man. You had to face TJ Watt Sunday. Now, guess who's coming to town? Nick Bosa.
The Bosa Bros.
They've
been pretty good this year. Nick has obviously been making his impact felt. When you look at the 49ers, Denard, they've won 5 of their last 6. I know some of that's not against the best quality opponents, but it's the NFL, and so anytime you can walk away with a win, that's something to celebrate. And right now the Titans, yeah, we're not trending in the right direction. We've lost 3 of our last 4, and the one win came against Jacksonville, who currently holds the number one pick in the draft. If you're the Titans, you got to get back to your DNA where you just keep running the ball until they stop you. I do think that it's going to be a little bit harder to run the ball against the 49ers than it is the Pittsburgh Steelers. I mean, 49ers got a lot better run defense. And if you're the Titans, you know the 49ers. They're also going to try to run the ball on you. And so Titans were able to stop the Pittsburgh Steelers whenever it came to running the ball this past week. And it really is. It's going to come down to it. I know you're probably getting tired of hearing us talk about it, but it's going to come down to turnovers. Can the Titans not turn the football over? I don't know. Right now, I'm hesitant to say they can't. I think they will. just based off what we've seen recently. But I mean, Denard and I have talked about it at length about what the Titans' odds of winning are when we don't turn it over versus when we do. And I mean, you shouldn't have to be a mathematician to really put two and two together on that one. But D, whenever I'm looking at this 49ers defense, and I'm Titans offensive coordinator Todd Downing, I was very critical of his performance up in Pittsburgh. How am I attacking this 49ers defense?
Well, let me see, Debo. So I went through my notes and I underlined about three names, and you're going to be disappointed in me because you've been very critical of these three guys that I'm about to mention. And here are the three names. You know where I'm going with this. There, I know. I heard it in your voice. Settle down.
Just go ahead and say them.
Nick Westbrook Ikhine, Chester Rogers, Cody Hollister, and Racy McMath. And I'm going to also
four names.
I'm going to give you four. I just asked it. I'm going to add a name. I just added Racy. And listen, D, where do you start? You can't. Where do I start? Okay.
I pray AJ's back and you can just add him into the mix. But again,
you're bringing an AJ in much like Julio. He's not 100%. So it's like you think about the Jacksonville game when they tried to implement the way they implemented Julio into the game plan. He had four receptions for 33 yards, but you didn't see the Julio trying to top the defense. They did a lot of underneath routes. You saw a lot of crossing routes, some deep digs, but they didn't run any explosive plays with him. They tried to take care of him, and he still ended up re-aggravating that hamstring. Davey, I looked at the passing game, and it was just when I looked at between Nick Westbrook, Ikhine, both of them had, one 4 for 32 and the other one 4 catches for 30 yards, 62 yards receiving between these two receivers. Davey, you need more production. You go back that game, and I was watching that Buffalo game, and I went back on those 4th and 2 conversions by AJ when he absolutely went to work on Levi Wallace. You always knew when you faced the Titans, if you're a defensive unit, you have to account for AJ in the passing game, especially when it's time to make money. That's called money time in the National Football League. Davey, who are you going to go to when it's money time? Who are you? Which one of these receivers are you going to go to and say, listen, can you make the big play when it counts? And I don't see not one guy, at least for right now, being that type of receiver. And that's really has been the Achilles heel for this offense is the receiving core. I'm sorry to say that, but it's true.
Oh, no, it's 100% true. The answer to your question, at least on Sunday, was Nick Westbrook Ikhine. They tried to go to him late. He was a yard short of the sticks. Joe Hayden hit him and was able to get a good stick, stop him from getting to the first down. The refs actually gave a very, very favorable spot. He wasn't even close to that. But yeah, they don't have anybody they can go to there. And so it's not like the tight end position has been much better. I'm surprised we haven't seen them try to get Michael Pruitt more involved in the passing game, just from what we've seen from him over the course of the last couple of years. Ferkser, he's definitely not taking a step forward by any stretch of the imagination. If anything, he's actually regressed, which is very frustrating to see. And I don't know who you throw the ball to outside of just continually try to run some screens, see if you can get the running backs out in front and make something happen there. But, it just starts with, can the Titans run the ball? If they can run the ball, they can have success. But I don't know. My faith is dwindling in this offense. And if A.J. Brown's not back, I just don't feel good at all. If A.J.'s back, I know that can definitely help stretch the field. One of the things we talked about a couple of weeks ago, Denard, in the receiving department was, could Golden Tate come in and make anything happen? He is not going to be a factor. I don't see him getting onto the field. So what are you going to do whenever these guys have shown that they're not going to be able to step up, and it's not like the defense is having to take extra men to shut them down? They're just getting their average Joe Schmo to cover them, and they're doing a really good job of that because they can't create separation. So if the Titans running game is stagnant and there's no AJ Brown, like, this offense is not going to put up points. It's as simple as that. And so can you create a play on special teams? I know Chester Rogers did have a big return against the Steelers that helped put you in a favorable position whenever it came to the first half last week. But I mean, you're going to have those types of plays, and the defense is going to have to play lights out. And even if the defense plays lights out, based off where we're turning the ball over, I mean, you're still automatically giving them points, the opposing team points. It's just frustrating in that regard.
That's why the theme of this week, Davey, is to eliminate the turnovers. If they can eliminate the turnovers, you're looking at a football team that will put themselves in position to win. Going into the Pittsburgh game, we talked about the two losses out of the four going into Sunday's game. We said the Titans gave the ball away 9 times off of turnovers, and it resulted in a loss. So they know what the issue is. It's turning the football over. We saw this team dominate Pittsburgh pretty much until mid-third quarter, and then all of a sudden, it's like the tide turned. So now, and also I wanted to talk about last week a little bit, because I talked about this receiving core. I played defensive back before in this league, and when you have 3 or 4 guys that you know that they can't top the defense, or they can't, you know, get off of the press in man-to-man coverage, it allows defensive coordinators to be very aggressive. So when you look at the game this week, we saw Sunday, we talked about Cameron Smith from Pittsburgh, number 20. And we also talked about Justin Lane, their two corners, just in case Joe Hayden was out. Now, Joe Hayden really didn't play. Those two ended up playing the bulk of the game. And then Hayden kind of, he came in and stole the moment.
Yeah,
right. He did. He messed everything up. But they were not able to beat or to basically exploit this Pittsburgh secondary. And we saw where Minnesota and Justin Jefferson absolutely took it to these two. Now you fast forward it and you come back to the game this Thursday and you look at Ambry Thomas. This is a player number 20. And I'm going to tell our listeners, when you watch this game, find number 20 for San Francisco. Davey, the last 3 or 4 games, teams have gone after number 20, Ambry Thomas. And you talk about Kawan Williams. There are two young corners that, again, I like the matchup if it was Julio and AJ. But now with Nick Westbrook-Ikhine and Chester Rogers, once again, it is an opportunity for them to capitalize on these matchups, because again, we all know about Josh Norman. We know about the old savvy vet, and he's actually been playing pretty well. The problem with this offensive unit, there's no perimeter game. Who is it? Who's going to step up? Who's going to step up and play lights out for this group? And that's going to be what's going to be the theme this week is which one of these players, is it going to be Nick Westbrook-Ikhine, Chester Rogers, but somebody has to show up, D.
They have to. Based off those names, I'm not expecting much, but we play the game, and hopefully I am very well surprised. Denard, if we were to turn our attention, one of the things that the 49ers don't lack, and that is playmakers. When you look at tight end position, they have arguably one of the best in the league. When you looking at George Kittle, he's extremely dynamic, hard to bring down. Debo Samuel has come on, is at a Pro Bowl type season. They look to get him involved in the run and pass game. And so you always got to be careful with and be alert of where he is on the field. And another guy that's a younger receiver, but he's starting to come into his own, is Brandon Ayuk. And so they've started to get these guys going. Now, Elijah Mitchell's the key guy out of their backfield. They have battled a lot of injuries at the running back position, though, so that's kind of been a revolving door at times. But if Mitchell is healthy, he's their lead back for sure. And so when you're looking at all these guys, Denard, and Kyle Shanahan, I mean, you played for his dad. He knows how to get the ball out to all of his playmakers. What is it going to be like for the Titans as they look at all these guys across the field? How are we going to try to limit this offense from moving the ball one, and then once they do get into the red zone, because they're going to eventually get there, how do you create that bend but don't break mentality?
First of all, I'm disappointed in you once again.
What did I do this time?
What about Jawan Jennings?
You mean Jawan Jennings? I was saving Jawan him for Jennings. Last because he's
oh, okay.
Evolved.
I'm like, you got no, my man out of University of Tennessee. You can't give him no love.
I'm going to give Jawan Jennings credit. I was waiting. He's a guy from the Nashville area. All right, he played it. I'm going to cut that out because I can't remember where he played high school ball at, but he's from the Middle Tennessee area.
Okay.
He came to Tennessee. He has indebted himself to Vol fans across the country. Everybody loves this guy. I loved watching Juwan Jennings play, as we would call him. He's an absolute dog out there.
All right.
Juwan the Dog Jennings. No, I mean, he had a touchdown against the Falcons, and he's definitely getting more involved into that system that Shanahan's running over there. So he's definitely somebody you got to watch out for. But I was starting with some of the guys that I think have proven to be the key guys that they're looking to target for the 49ers.
Yeah, and a great job at doing that too, Debo. Listen, I know right now they have the offensive coordinator, Mike McDaniel. He's not the offensive coordinator. Kyle Shanahan is the Mike. He's the offensive coordinator. He's the one calling the shots. But let me tell you something, Debo. When you look at this offense, everything is predicated around AKA the man child, the golden beast, George Kittle. You have to account for 85. Davey, he is a cross between Mark Bavaro. You remember Mark Bavaro, who used to play for the Giants back in the mid-80s from out of Notre Dame?
I mean, I know him. Like, I didn't watch his games.
I watched him against the 49ers on Monday Night Football, and Ronnie Lott, believe me, he knows Mark Bavaro because Mark Bavaro took Ronnie Lott, who's arguably the greatest safety in the league, for a long ride that game. I was about 13 years old back in 87, and he's like a cross between Mark Bavaro and Brett Jones. Davey, George Kittle is right now, he's playing like I've never seen a tight end play in a long time. And let me say this right now, because their offense really is predicated on 85. They'll line him up in the slot. They'll line him up at wide receiver. And what they're looking for, D, is they're looking for a mismatch. They want a linebacker like Rashawn. They want somebody like a Jayon to come and cover him, because they know that 9 times out of 10, they feel like they can actually exploit that matchup. You remember when I talked about Kyle Shanahan? He's like his dad.
Yeah.
He doesn't attack you schematically. He looks for matchups. He wants to find the weakest link of the defense. When you look at that San Francisco offense, it's identical to the same offense the Broncos in the mid-90s when Mike Shanahan got to Denver. A lot of zone schemes, lots of play action. Watch how they do the play action, Davey. It's absolutely ran to perfection. He shows the ball, Jimmy Garoppolo. A lot of times if you're the defensive players, you have to play that zone run because they're gonna run the ball to set up the play action. And so if you're the linebackers this week, this game is going to come down defensively on the linebackers' ability to get depth. I'm going to say that again. The game is going to come down to Jayon and Rashawn, whoever's in there at the linebacker, their ability to get depth. They have to get depth, because if you look at that Atlanta game when they ran play action, the linebackers were stuck right there in space, like had their hands out. They didn't know what to do because of the way they run that zone scheme, that play action. So, again, if you look at players, like, just take a look at Derek Brooke and Ray Lewis, how they play. If I'm Tennessee, I'm showing them a film of how they play action, how they're able to locate. Okay, they say, okay, boom, it's not a run, but then how they twist out of there, they flip around and relocate to get to the receiver. That's what Tennessee is going to have to do, because, David, you're going to get a dose of this. And once again, D, let me say this, the most underrated player on that offense you have to be aware of is number 44. He is a beast. He is on his way, one of the fan favorites at his position and making the Pro Bowl. Davey, they utilized him in the passing game. When I tell you what, when number 44 in the red zone, if you're Tennessee and San Francisco gets in the red zone, you have to account for 44. And last but not least, I tell you what, D, this Deebo Samuels, I don't know what he's drinking, but it's working. I tell you what, he is an explosive. He's an electric player. Davey, they will line him up at running back. He has more rushing touchdowns than the actual starter, Elijah Mitchell. That's how good he is. He is playing. He already has over 1,000 yards receiving. Davey, Deebo, I'm going to say this. There's one guy you have to find on that field, on the perimeter. That's number 19, my man out of where? South Carolina. Fine 19. If he's in the backfield, he's getting the ball. If he's in the slot, watch him on the seams and slants. They love slants, Davey. I'm going to say this again. Slants, slants, more slants, hitches, slant, 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 slant. That's the Denver's way. Kyle Shanahan, same offense.
It's going to be a really fun matchup to watch whenever you do see what guys that Kyle Shanahan gets put on his star receivers. And I got a question for you here in a second, Denard. Before we get into that, I did want to take a second to say that Christmas is almost here. And if you've been waiting, last minute gifts, hurry in now, because Lightbox lab-grown diamonds are the brightest gift of the year. Using cutting-edge technology and innovative techniques, they've cracked the science of sparkle, creating the highest quality lab-grown diamonds you can find at a light price, $800 per carat. They have the same chemical makeup of natural diamonds, but just are grown in a lab. Because of their process, they can create stones in blush pink and beautiful blue, as well as classic white. Lightbox lab-grown diamonds are the gift they'll never want to take off, priced so they won't have to. They really do make any outfit sparkle. Visit LightboxJewelry.com to add sparkle to your holiday shopping. That's LightboxJewelry.com. Lightbox Diamonds, never a dull moment. Denard, getting back to talking about the playmakers for the 49ers, one of the questions I had, we were talking about George Kittle. And if you look at Kittle, he's that new hybrid type tight end that they pretty much just put out there as like a giant receiver. You know, him, Travis Kelce, Darren Waller, they're all kind of that same make. Similar, the 49ers utilize him in some of the ways where we saw the Titans use Jonnu Smith over the last couple of years.
Yeah.
When you look at George Kittle, is this something where you expect to see the Titans try to put Kevin Byard on him quite a bit? Or do you think, no? Okay.
Yeah, Davey, how you defense George Kittle is you might need to double team him and then man up at another position. What I mean by that is you want to roll the defense to the strength of the other team's playmaker. This team, they go as far as George Kittle will take them. He already has 850 yards receiving this year.
He was banged up at the beginning. Yeah, he missed a good portion of the season.
A good portion of the season. You think about, look at our three tight ends with Anthony Ferkser, Jeff Swain, and Michael Pruitt. Combine our three tight ends have 532 yards. So you see how much he accounts for that offense. And, Davey, what you have to do, because that's what San Francisco wants. They want a smaller defender to try to guard a guy who is 6'4", 250 pounds, and he's looking. D, he's looking for contact. Remember what I alluded to earlier? He reminds me of Mark Bavaro. That's exactly the way he plays the game. He wants a physicality. He wants a smaller defensive back like Denard Walker, who's 6 foot, 190 pounds, to go up and try to play him. It puts a defensive back at a disadvantage. So what you have to do is to make sure you put a linebacker, somebody to either slow his progress, get a jam on him, hit him. So if you're going to try to double team him, you have to do something, because one guy can't cover a player like George Kittle in this league.
Yeah, no, you can't. And so it's be interesting to see what happened. Because when I watch this game play out in my head, what I think is going to happen is Kittle and Samuel, they're both going to get their yards. I expect to see Kittle somewhere around 75 yards in the game. I think Debo's going to, like, all-purpose charge. I think he's going to be close to, like, 125. But can you hold them to field goals and force Robbie Gould to come out there? Because if you can do that, you give this team, this Titans team, a much better chance, even though I have a lot of concerns with the offense. And I really would like to see the defense find a way to score a touchdown or special teams, because the Titans, and I mean, we're not talking about the most electric offenses here, Denard, that the Titans have had to go up against. But if you look at what the Titans offense has done, though, in their last three losses to the Texans, only scored 13 points. To the Patriots, only scored 13 points. And then this past week to the Steelers, only 13 points. So the Titans, they're not putting points on the board. 13's been the number in the losses. And so, I mean, can you find a way to get over that hump? That's really what I want to see, because this 49ers team, with the way they've been playing offense as of late, like, if you don't get into the 20s, you ain't winning this game. Like, our defense can play great, but they've just been moving the ball, and then they've been in some very good positions, and they've been walking away with points. And so it's going to be a dogfight for them for sure. D, before we get out of here, man, like, given our predictions, what do you think is going to happen? And I need some hope. I need that Christmas spirit to lift up my spirits and make me feel better about this game.
That are some eggnog.
I want to win. But I might have to watch this game drunk, Denard.
The way you've been complaining and what you want for Christmas, you better put some of that eggnog. But, you know, before I was talking about George Kittle, I was saying he's kind of a cross between Mark Bavaro, but I didn't name the other player. That was Brett Jones, who's a former tight end who played with Montana. and Steve Young. And he was kind of that hybrid tight end. Wasn't the biggest guy in the world, but he had those great hands. That's George Kittle. He's a mixture of those two. So, Davey, I'm going to say this. In order for Tennessee to have a chance to win this game, first of all, you have to eliminate the turnovers. That's the key. That's really been the theme when this team is when they have an L, is when they take these losses, it's because of the turnovers. If they can eliminate the turnovers, or even just to cut the turnovers in half, I mean, you talk about four turnovers, turn them into two, you know, just cut it in half, then this team always would be in the game.
Or at least be on the other side of the field when you turn it over.
Exactly, because that's what happened Sunday. They turned the ball over in their territory, and you can't win like that in this league. So if they can eliminate the turnovers, and number two, if they can get some production out of the perimeter game, this game right now for the next 3 weeks, not just this game, but for the next 3 weeks, we need a heavy dosage of Nick Westbrook-Ikhine. We need someone, Cody Hollister, Chester Rogers, Dez Fitzpatrick, Racy McMath, someone out of that group needs to make a play. If you're one-dimensional in this league, Davey, 9 times out of 10, you won't win. Now, what happened in New England, I can't explain that running the ball 3 times. I can tell you what, usually if that happens, that coaching staff's going to be out of a job. I feel like if the Titans eliminate the mistakes Thursday night, I think the Titans will have a chance at winning this game. I'm going to say 16 to 13, because but the defense is, they can play with any offense in the league. If the defense played the way that they played Sunday against Pittsburgh, and if the offense eliminates the turnovers, the Titans will win this game in a close one, 16-13, by a late field goal by Fat Randy, aka Pretty Randy, Randy Bullock.
All right, man. It's going to have to be low scoring, I think, for the Titans to come out on top in this one. I did want to give a rundown as of what happened at practice on Tuesday. For guys that did not practice, Julio Jones with a hamstring, Taylor Lewan with a back issue, David Long with a hamstring, and then Laurell Murchison with a knee. Those four guys did not practice. But Deontay Foreman, I know he got a little banged up at the end of the game against the Steelers. He was a full participant in Tuesday's practice with that ankle injury. David Questenberry was a full participation, a little banged up with the knee. Jackrabbit Jenkins, full participation, didn't play last week. Hopefully we can get him back out there, help out at the cornerback position. Roger Saffold, full participation, had that shoulder injury keep him out last week. And then Tyre Tart, possibly getting him back. He was a full participant as well, battling an ankle injury. So only four guys on that list. There's also the chance they activate A.J. Brown in time to see him get out there, which would do wonders for this offense. I mean, we've seen how electric he can be, so hopefully we get him out there. I'm not feeling good about this, Denard, and I hope that me not feeling good it just makes things go the other way, you know? I'm just trying to talk myself like into it, but yeah. Right now I have the 49ers winning this one 24-17. I do have the Titans getting more than 13, but not enough to stay in a race with the 49ers, but the Titans need this one bad. We can look at the playoff picture next week. Titans currently the 3 seed, and the Colts are closing in on trying to come back into that AFC South race, and it's going to be a battle. And the Titans got to put some room between them. If they can get the win against the 49ers, then all they need to clinch the division after that is a win against the Dolphins or Texans or a Colts loss. Any of those situations with a win against the 49ers, and the Titans are looking pretty. I think they can do that. If they win against the 49ers, I'm calling it now, you can lock up the AFC South. But we'll see what happens when we get there. Denard, I look forward to talking with you, hopefully after. I mean, I always look forward to talking with you, but I hope it's on a good occasion for a Tennessee Titans win.
It will be.
I would like to wish all our listeners a Merry Christmas and a Happy Holidays. It'll be the first time, or I doubt we'll be speaking with you all before Christmas gets here, but just a shout out there. Hope you and your families have a great holiday season. But D and I will be back to do it again later on this week. Before Denard Walker, I am Davey Hudson. You have been listening to Believe in Titans, presented by Bet Online on the Believe Podcast Network. And as always, Titan up.
Thank you for tuning in to another edition of Believe in Titans on the Believe Podcast Network. If you enjoy the show, please subscribe and rate us on iTunes. We are available on all your favorite directories: iTunes, Spotify, Google Play, Stitcher, Luminary, and TuneIn. and you can follow along to keep up with all the latest Titans information on Twitter at Believe Titans. That's BLEAVTITANS. And hey, if you're interested in advertising on the show, please contact Believe at Believe.com.